Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Chang, du ringde mig i söndags när jag körde bil och hade en sak att berätta.
Yes.
Han ringde typ alla förutom Mustafa.
Jo, jag försökte ringa Mustafa med. Aha, okay. Så här, det är ju oss podden idag. Vi har funnits ett år. Ja. Och vad var den största händelsen under det här året vi har funnits?
Paolo Roberto.
Exakt. Och det här har gått och har jag funderat på, för efter Paolo-avsnittet Malte Backel så bjöd vi in hon Lisa som jobbar som sexarbetare. Och då såg jag en och så blev ju många upprörda, för Lisa är ju så här att, ja men vadå, det, hon har ju valt att frivilliga och allting. Och så var det vissa som var kritiserade, ja men tjejer som kommer från andra länder då, Lisa är ju svensk och har ett val. Och då har jag gått och funderat, okej, går det att få tag på en sån här tjej då? Det skulle vara kul. För där är det kanske också större att det är oegentligheter och, ja men du vet, man gör det inte frivilligt eller vad det nu man sysslar med. Så jag vände ju mig dit alla seriösa journalister vände sig, det vill säga till Flashback. Och kollar, vart går folk som är trånga i byxorna och du vet. Och du säger att det finns ju en hel flora av grejer. Det finns ju såna här rena i skottställen där folk köper liksom, ja, tjejer för en timme och har sex med. Men sen finns det en hel utbud av, du har ju arbetarklassen, ibland går ju till någon jävla thaimassage i Farsta. Och så lägger de till en 500 för en avrunkning. Om man får lita på Flashback. Vilket jag tror säkert stämmer. Och så kollar jag här. Men då finns det lite lyxmassage. Sån här tantrisk massage och grejer med. Och så tittar man på
sån pris. Sån här yoni-massage-grejer.
Ja, fast en motsvarighet.
Ashkan, you know that yoni is...
Lingam for men.
Yoni är ju för tjejer och lingam är för killar. Och det kan man ju då välja till. Och såna här och prostatamassage och alla möjliga grejer. Det här ligger lite utanför min comfort zone, vad jag normalt tycker är intressant. Det är lite så här, du vet, lite halvflummig och det ska vara något. Ja.
So you usually don't like it up the ass, you mean?
Exactly, I don't... Precis, Omar, precis.
Okay, okay.
I alla fall, jag bokar en tid och tar mig till det här stället. Tänkte jag ska träffa en sån här tjej och ställa frågor. Så får jag en adress. Det är centrala Stockholm. Jag vill inte röja adressen, därför att den första sak som slog mig när jag såg adressen, det var att vänta lite, här kan finnas ett journalistiskt gräv som jag kan hålla på med, så det är ett sidospår. Därför vill jag inte röja det i podden. Och jag fick en del av det bekräftat också sen, att en misstanke jag hade om varför adressen är just där den är. Det är en omärkt port. Jag får en kod. Så jag öppnar dörren. Går upp och så på dörren så står det adress till något eller någonting sånt. Ja, jag ringer på dörren. Två glada tjejer öppnar från Tjeckien. snackar lite med dem. Jag blir ledd till ett rum och där ska det vara sån här då, vad heter det? Sån här massage.
Lingam?
Nej, inte, vad heter det? Tantra. Okay. Ja. Så jag sätter mig ner och förklarar att anledningen till att jag är här är att jag egentligen jobbar som journalist. Och så förklarar jag hela bakgrundsstoryn med nyheter idag, att jag har den här podden Sista måltiden och hela det här. Det är en jättetrevlig tjej. Hon liksom så här, tycker själv det är intressant och själv funderar på syssla med journalistik och har lite frågor om det. Så vi börjar snacka då. Ja. Jag säger till henne liksom att det roligaste skulle vara om jag kunde få med dig eller någon av dina kompisar som jobbar här eller så, få med dig till podden. Kanske rent av att man gör nyhetsartikel också. Men så här, det är lugnt, jag betalar för tiden, jag är här, jag tar ju din tid och så här, jag betalar för den. Men vi, liksom, jag är inte ute efter någon jävla, du vet, avrunkning eller vad fan det är man får. Liksom så här. Men hon är väldigt så här, jo, jättekul, liksom spännande, verkar lite öppen för liksom att kunna köra det, låta sig intervjuas eller något. Men hon är ändå väldigt så här, du måste ju testa, det är ju fantastiskt med sån här massage och bla bla bla. Ja, men vi håller det vanilj liksom, vi håller det lugnt, vi gör inget så här. Jag vill kunna berätta om det öppet utan att få ett brev från åklagaren efteråt. Så, och det upplever jag att jag har gjort, så att där känner jag mig safe. Men i alla fall så lämnade jag mitt telefonnummer och hon ringer upp och har hennes nummer, vi snackar med varandra och liksom, nu sitter hon här.
How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
24 and you're from?
Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. I love Czech. Mm-hmm. I've been to Prague. I was there for
What were you doing in Prague?
We're just visiting the city.
What were you doing?
It's a beautiful city. We are glad to have you here. We just want to say we're very curious. Generally speaking,
especially Omar is very curious.
That too, but we will be asking a lot of questions. But don't feel obligated at all to answer something that you don't want to answer. So if there is something that you don't want to talk about, you just
Worry. It's just only two cops here. You know, no problems.
But now I'm curious. You're saying that a lot of people are hiding. A lot of the clients are hiding this. Why do you think they are hiding?
Because there is. This pressure from public, I think, and even families and friends, that they would judge it.
Okay.
And they would like maybe look back at them because lots of people and even myself, we don't always live ourselves. You know, we, playing those roles and doing this just to please others and just to do this because we should do it and,
You mean it's a lot of norms in society, how you should behave, what is allowed
exactly,
or not allowed.
Exactly.
But let's take one step back, maybe. Mm-hmm. Let's not rely on Shang's description of what you do. What do you actually do?
Like,
can you describe your work?
So everyone is actually very individual. So there is no session which is like same. So what I do when a man came to visit and get the experience, so firstly I tried kind of like introduce myself as well and to get to know each other a bit, and then I try to kind of see what type of person he is and probably what he needs. So some comes maybe they need just to feel loved, to get the care, and to maybe they're missing this, and or others might need something else. Like it really depends. So first I try to kind of diagnose or how to say to to actually give my service to the exact individual. Then we agree on. Type of massage or like type of the service, and then we start, and it depends. Like every time it's different, but every massage, well, almost every like our session, I start with the ritual. So this is for to kind of like to try to connect, and usually like they might come like from very busy day, something happens, like you're like all this, so basically what she tried, like, to calm down and just to, like, connect on this, like, level, or how to say. And, yeah. And then we start. So when I feel the... Sometimes it's short, sometimes it takes longer. When I feel we kind of ready, then we go and carry on. And, yeah. And then it's, yeah, it's individual.
it's individual. But is it is there other things that are off the table? Or...
Yeah, of course. So yes, it happens many times that people misunderstood and was finding wanted sex, or they wanted something, you know, something what doesn't, it's not there. So in that case, you have to explain them and yeah, and try to, you know, disrupt the atmosphere. Like, you try to explain them, and then if they don't listen, then you ask them to go to a different place.
I see. What
is it that they expect usually that isn't there?
Sex.
Okay.
Intercourse. Sexual intercourse.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So you're not selling sex?
No, never. And I did have offers, but no.
This is a bit fun, because by Swedish law, she might be selling sex. Because in Czech, it's like, if you're giving linga massage, I think they see this as a kind of massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Czech Republic.
Yeah,
if you perform lingam, you know, the dick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that is considered in Czech Republic. Yes. This is still a massage. It's
okay, I'm not following. What exactly do you do? What is this massage?
So the purpose is, I guess, to satisfy. But it doesn't mean that the man would come out. It means to you kind of during the massage, you kind of connect to this. It is sexual energy, and it can get like really hot in there, or how to say, like, you know, like very
sexual tension.
Yeah. It can be very nice. But it is about to wake up this energy, and then you know, you feel like so this is probably the purpose, to make him happy, satisfied, feeling like a man, you know, ready for everything.
So and usually, because there is this porn genre, what's it called, neuromassage or something like that. Is this similar? So basically, both the masseuse and the client are totally naked. Is this part?
That's an option.
It's an option, but yeah, is this, if you would do it right, this is how it has to be done, or what would you suggest to the client? Because I imagine, like, for example, a client coming and maybe they are waiting for some guidance from you as well. They don't really know what they should do. Should I take off my clothes or not? Are you going to take off your clothes or not? And so on. So how do you start that process?
So this all shows or reveal during the ritual. So sometimes, you know, like, it really depends. Like, and sometimes you just, you know, like, yeah, it depends. So why we do ritual, like, I'm having my dressing on, and my client having sarung, which is like a...
a sheet.
Yeah, like a sheet, okay. Kind of. He's got it around him. And then it depends. And but usually, in most cases, is that we take that off. And yeah, then we naked. Yes, it's true.
Yeah. probably, I don't know, probably you don't have exact statistics about this, but would you say that most men, or how many men reach orgasm during that massage?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like 97% probably.
Okay, so everybody,
like,
basically.
Most.
Yeah.
So if somebody criticizes or questions your line of work and says, well, since they ejaculate, they reach orgasm, you're selling sex. What's your stance on that?
It doesn't mean that you've got orgasm that you, like, you can, yeah. Like, you can, and I do have clients who actually came, and you can have the, like, a tantric orgasm, you know, like, just like the inside, like, a waking, how to say. And, Yeah, and they actually don't want to come out because then you give out the energy. You know, you want to keep it in to be strong.
I see from how you're describing it, from your point of view, mm-hmm. you really think that it has a strong spiritual aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Do you feel when the clients come to you, do you feel they also have this kind of like view of what's going to happen?
Mm.
Because here, like I can think there can be two kinds of people, perhaps. I'm generalizing now, but mm-hmm. two kinds of people who could be somewhat interested in that. People who are a bit more, you know, we'd call them hippies. And they are really interested in sexual energy and feel like, you know,
they're this spiritual. Would
awaken things yeah. in them and things like that. And then there is the other, I don't think there are many like Sean who are journalists, but like there are
she others. Said 97%, so someone is the rest 3%. I wonder who that could be.
And then there is the, I can assume or really think that a lot of them would be there to have sex. Not necessarily like intercourse, mm-hmm. although probably a lot of them may be expecting that as well. But for them, they actually want the sexual aspect. They're not really interested in the spiritual aspect at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, so in this, I believe that it depends only because every therapist in our salon, it's very different and has different view like on this. And I do believe like you kind of attract those people who are on a similar way of looking at it. But I did had clients who had a different view on this than me.
How do you handle them, those clients?
Yeah, I still remember my first when that happened, and I didn't really handle it so well. I got scared, you know, and. So I just stepped back, and because firstly I tried to explain nicely and I kept carry on, you know, like, but then it's like destroyed, you know, because you're in something and you're like, okay. So I stepped back and I explained him and then, you know, oh, sorry. Okay. So in this case, when we can't carry on professional level, then I ask him to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I ask him to leave, and
But is it just? I assume there are many girls who are working in the same place, like you, or mm-hmm. not, yeah. Do they also have the same kind of standards as you? Are all of them like very strict when it comes to where the line goes, or not exactly?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but I can't say.
Okay, I see.
Because like...
How many are you though? Like that share a common clinic or place?
I don't know, 50? Like in
the salon?
Mm-hmm.
There's 15 of you.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
15, around. I see.
And who is in charge?
My boss.
who's your boss?
Boss.
And who is your boss?
Yeah, so being honest, like I think being in charge, so every therapist is in charge of herself and of the session. But then we do have support as our operator, and there is a person we rent the room from.
Yeah. Isn't this a little bit like haircutters? They rent that chair where they make haircut to people, and someone is owning this salon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think it's the same system.
And we rent similar. The
operator. How do you mean operator? Can you describe a bit more?
Oh, okay. So the operator is a person who you as a client and book the time for the session and do the most of the communication. And then she, like, it's like the third person who connects us, basically. So we don't get, you know.
But the operator is not your boss?
Or, mm-mm, no.
So what does your boss do?
He lives his life, really.
I mean, what is his, how to say?
Yeah, so, okay. Like, basically, he just rents us the room. So I just like, yeah, I booked the dates with him for which period I'm going to the flat or the salon. And I booked that with him. I gave my part and yeah.
Right, I see. Mm. And now when you talked about maybe clients who want to push the boundaries a little bit, mm-hmm. and you can feel a little bit, or there mm-hmm. has been times when you felt a little bit like intimidated and so on. I can imagine this can be, it is an intimidating and somewhat vulnerable situation. Do you have like someone for protection where you work? Because not a lot of guys will be, well, intimidated or be afraid of you if they really want to push the boundaries, if you know what I mean.
Not sure if I should say it, but abroad we don't.
Say again?
Like abroad, like in Sweden or in different like countries, right. We do not.
You don't have someone to protect you?
No.
Isn't that scary though?
It is sometimes, yeah.
It is sometimes. But,
No, but yeah, probably if we could then edit this, probably. Yeah, unfortunately, no. But it did happen that I was quite scared, like it was a situation. And then I realized, I was like, God, actually, who would help me, you know?
Here in Sweden, there was a situation. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, I can do.
Yeah.
So you've got like different places here. Usually, sometimes you are into therapist at the same dates you are in. But there's this place where you are just yourself at the flat.
Oh, so there are different flats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in different one places. Of the flats, there's two of you at the same time?
Mm-hmm. And somewhere you are on your own.
Oh, okay. I thought it was always...
Sometimes you're totally alone meeting the clients. You're not totally even having another friend there.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were always 15 together.
No.
Okay.
No. Skiftar ju.
I see. All right.
That's like in Czech because it's more... legal or
yeah it's right. yeah because yeah it's this is what legal. We talked about in Czech so. I think if I understand it correctly, this lingam, you know, basically you're massaging the dick in Czech, this is legal, but in Sweden, if I understood it correctly, this is considered a sexual act and then is prohibited. So it's yeah,
but okay.
Yeah, to carry on with the story.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was in this flat. And, you know, it was like, let's go. Good, good, good. And then there was one day and I had a reservation for, let's say, 1930. I don't remember the exact time. I think it was 1930. And there was a doorbell. You know, it was like 1917, like 17 past 7 p.m. It's like, oh, okay, he's early. That's okay. I read my operator to confirm he arrived. I go to open the door. Now, this, you know... guy. Okay, I invite him, you know, I welcome him. But from the very start, I felt like this dark, you know. I was like, okay, just see, like, don't judge. And yeah, and we talk, and exactly like, first thing, like, he asked for sex. And also, his English wasn't so good, so he was using, like, he was from Persian or, like, not Persian, like, he talk Persian language.
Persian.
Mm-hmm.
He was Persian. Not Persian. Maybe somewhere nearby.
Yeah. Yeah, like.
Okay, tell me more about how the Persians behave.
Okay.
Mm. And no, I don't say everyone behaves this way.
Yeah.
No.
Did he look like Ashkan here?
No.
No, okay.
But, you know, he was using the language from the other.
Sorry. Also, he was Arab.
Oh, okay.
He was
okay,
an Arab.
Yeah, okay,
or
okay.
Persian.
But Paul is Arab and Ashkan is Persian.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, like, no, I'm not talking about you. You know?
No, yeah, but it's okay.
But anyway, so we was trying, like, through the... We was using translator to explain.
Uh-huh. And like he Google asked, Translate or something like that? Oh,
Google
okay.
Translator. And he asked this question. And so I just like laugh. I was like, no, I'm sorry. Like, this is about like a tantric massage. And so, yeah, I explained him better. Try to explain him better. And he was like, look, I've got here like a thousand Swedish crowns. And how many times I can go? I was like, look, I'm sorry, like, this is not about this. So I just explain him and like follow him back, you know, outside the door. And so I say goodbye. I was like, okay, yeah, this happens. You know, I had the understanding. So I closed the door, going back to the flat, and doorbell. It's like, is that him? Like, I don't know, like, you know, went for more money, or I don't know, like, what was his thought? And I opened, and there was actually standing my client, who I knew it's my client, because he was, he visited me a few times now. And God, like, I remember, like, I still, like, see him, my heart just stopped, like, and I start cry, like, I start shake, because all, like, went to my head, like, oh my God, so who was that? How does he know about me? What could happen? Or, you know, like, what could happen? And I was so afraid.
But wait, was it the same guy, I mean, or?
No, it was actual my client. So the other one, he wasn't my client. I realized that when I opened the door and there was my client.
I see.
So before your real client arrived, this Google Translate dude was...
Let's call him that.
Okay. Holy shit. How did he know about the place?
I know. That all those questions came to my head. Like, nothing bad happened. But this was quite like, I start shake, I start cry, and there is the client. He said, what's happened? So yeah, let's go in. Like, I really like
this is part of the ritual. Let's just go.
So we get in, and I start crying. I said, look, I'm sorry, I need to write my operator. So I wrote her. I said, look, this is what's happened. Like, and I'm not able to, like, carry on. Like, I'm not able to carry on with the session. I've got my client here, but I will probably ask him, like, to leave. And she only replied me, like, you know, she's back in Czech. And she only replied me, like, something like, peace, it's all right, nothing happened. Like, I was like, yeah, nothing happened, but good. But, yeah, and so I talked with the client, and he was like, oh, he had understanding. I explained him, and he said, okay, let's go out for a drink. And I said, no, it's not a good idea. Like, it's okay. Like, I will be fine, but I'm sorry, I can't carry on. And so then he left, and he wrote my operator, like, look, tell her this is my number. She can always get back to me, like, very nice support. And, and I was just, yeah. I shaked. So that was it. Like, nothing really bad happened. No one hurt me. But to realize this, that I'm actually on my own, what would happen? When would they find me if anything happens? You know, that's quite scary.
And you still don't know how this guy figured out the location and everything. It's probably a previous client.
Yeah, he may visit, but not me. Sorry.
And now you're in a room with five guys where you have both Afghanis, Arabs, you have a Gypsy Jew, you have a Persian dudes. You don't feel scared or something, no?
No, because I don't really judge from...
I was joking a bit.
Okay.
From what I understand... Mm-hmm. You kind of feel that you have a safer environment to work outside of Sweden.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, very much so.
But you still choose to work here in Sweden still. Mm-hmm. Can you
say
elaborate
why?
A little bit, like, what are your thoughts around this?
Because
from what you're describing, even... I, as a guy, I would be scared. Like, I'm alone in an apartment and so on, and like a totally strange guy showing up and so on without any protection. So,
Because this is the dark side of it, I guess. Like, but there is lots of positives as well.
The money?
As well, yeah.
How much money do you do in a month?
It depends.
Yeah, but
ballpark.
Average.
Something. Give us some kind of number.
So I do not work like every day in a month.
No. Yeah.
So I can't say for a month, but No, I think I keep that for myself.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Is it more than if you would have a typical job that a typical 24-year-old would have?
Of course, yes.
Is it twice as much at least?
It's maybe 10 times as much, but okay.
Who knows? Okay, so what is attractive about Sweden that you are able to sacrifice your, or like you're willing to sacrifice your security to work here in Sweden?
Like, when I was at that place when this happened, I told myself I'm not going there again. So a good thing about this is that I can actually choose where I will go. So, yeah, so now I only choose to go to Stockholm, where we are two therapists together. And, yeah, and feels safer.
But is it like mainly basically the money that the clients are willing to pay more here than in Czech, for example?
Because, I mean, you could stay in Czech Republic and have the safety, but yet you come here.
Why are you
That's
here?
That's true. That's true, yeah. Maybe because, as well, I do different job back in my country, and it wouldn't really go together. Yeah.
So you don't do this all the time?
No.
You do some other stuff also.
I do, yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Before we leave that, I also am curious about one thing.
Yeah.
Who could have thought?
Ska vi andra lämna och bara låta Omar vara här?
Are the irrelevant questions what?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I imagine, because this is probably illegal here in Sweden.
For sure.
For sure. Police wouldn't understand the spiritual aspect of it.
Have the police been visiting your
This was
studio?
My question.
Not when I was there.
But they have. And what have they said?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
But the other didn't tell you what the police said?
What did Simon Häggström say?
Sorry?
He's joking. There is a guy, a police officer.
Okay.
He looks like a
sluta.
Alltså för det är det känsligaste nu helt plötsligt.
Nej, men du fan pratar om min kollega till mig.
He looks like he's from India and he was bullied as a kid.
Okay.
Ljuger jag?
Okay, ja, du hittar på.
Okay, so why did you pick Sweden?
Well, it was a destination what the company offered me. So they are different. Like, I don't know, I could go Germany, Switzerland, Norway. I don't know, like, you can choose. But
so there is some organization behind it that offers you a different job in different places?
No.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So how come you started doing this work?
Yeah, so where to start? When I was 17, I went to UK to study. Health and social care. And then I met a boy, so I stayed in the country for a little bit longer. And then we decided not, it was my first boyfriend, and then we decided not to be together. And I didn't know, like, okay, like, well, we were together for 4 years and we lived together. And I was like, what do I do now? Like, he was my first boyfriend. I thought he's going to be my last, you know, like, what do I do? So I wasn't sure. So I went to Switzerland for 7 months as an au pair to look after our children.
As an au pair?
As an au pair, yes. It's a safe way and cheap for me. And so I done that. And I thought, like, I will sort myself out and, you know, to be in a different environment. Because when I'm in Czech, I want to stay there. It's my home. When I was in England, I had a good job. You know, like, I know the people. Like, I lived there for over 6 years. So get used to it. But so I went to Switzerland. And there I decided, okay, I'll go back to Czech then. And I went back to Czech and I still done a little bit of work. But the work I do, it's not as good pay.
What is that?
So I work with children with disabilities. I teach sign language and
sign language.
Mm-hmm. And
You speak sign language?
Yeah, I use sign language.
You don't speak sign language.
Well, okay, you
get the gist of it. Yeah.
How come you know sign language?
Because I wanted to learn, so I learn myself, and because at its center. I was working at the educational centrum for children with disabilities, or children and adults with disabilities. And I saw on a few that maybe they can speak, but, you know, they might have like high autism and they can't express themselves. And, you know, it's get frustrating for them and they hit themselves or they, you know, like bash to the wall. And like it hurts you to see that they're hurting. And and then there was this woman, and she was doing like a sing and sign, so she was signing to songs, and I was like, wow, you know, like that's it, like that's nice,
singing with sign language?
There was like songs, uh-huh. and she was doing signs into it, so even those who can't hear, like you know, could enjoy. And and I really like it. I saw like as a tool, so. Like, yeah, and I find my, how to say, like, passion in it. And so I start learn myself from videos. I bought books. And then I actually had, like, my, at the center, there you had, like, team leaders. And I had my group of children. And, and I started to do this with them as a part of, like, education and, like, as well like a social, so they could actually communicate with each other. And because I had a boss, she was very like, she put the trust to us. So, you know, we could do anything just to record after what we done. So I done this. And what was the question? I lost. But yeah, I will
carry
on.
How did you start to do with this business?
Okay, well, I got like into different...
no problem.
Area, but I will try to finish it anyway. Yeah, so I do that and I teach myself. Oh yeah, you ask me how come I learn, and and then my boss one time like she go to the kitchen, so we invite her to the table. I was like, look, like we will show her now, you know. So I stopped the music and like so I invite her to come. We would like to like show you something. And, you know, like, I put the song on and we done the signs and she was really, like, impressed and liked the work we done. And I was so impressed myself because even the children who, like, for example, I say name Charlotte, she didn't really like to take in part when we was learning. But then, you know, she done very well. And so, yeah. So that was very nice. And then my boss, like at the end of the day, she invited me to the office and asked me if I would like to go at the course that they would pay it for me. And she see the sense in it. And I was like, wow, you know, like I really wanted to do that myself, but it was expensive and I would need time. Yeah. And this video would give me the time and pay it. So that's how I learned sign language. I didn't learn like on courses and
yeah.
So I was in Switzerland and I went back to Czech, and for the job I was doing, I wasn't paid as much, but as I kind of like investing and like having my like this financial world working, you know, so.
You investing money to try to get the money growing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like in past, I was saving money. Like that's what my grandmother told me. I had envelopes, you know, and like I was writing at them. There was like, I don't know if it was for flight or rent. You know, I had those envelopes. There was like for rent, for food, for groceries. I don't know, for, I don't know, cosmetics, for flights back home, for, I don't know, shoes. And first you fill up the one for, you know, rent, then food and this.
Yeah, yeah. So you make a budget.
Yeah, exactly. But before I was saving money. But then when you get to see, like, in a world that everything goes more expensive and why would
inflation.
You keep... Yeah. So why would you keep the money at the account when it loses its value?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I wanted to
Bitcoin.
Invest... Yes.
we always talk about this in this podcast recently, what to invest in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any good stocks? Okay, so how did you start with this business?
I shouldn't answer.
No, do it. So just to recap, so you, after your breakup, which was traumatizing to you, as I understand it, you leave to Switzerland.
To find out what I want, and I went back to Czech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you end up in this center where you get involved with disabled kids.
No, that was in the UK.
That was in the UK. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
did you work with in Czech?
Yeah, so I was still doing like videos and online lessons. Okay. So I was doing like through Zoom or Skype or, you know, and I started to like record myself, even though that was super difficult. But yeah, I started to record myself and do like all this. And then I do like online lessons with children. Mm.
And if I would ask...
Okay, but I still don't know
how you got started with the massage thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So anyway... So I got to Czech then, and I had this like little job, you know, had little money and invest all I had saved. So I was like, what could I do to
to make shitloads of money?
Also to manage to do what I like to do, what I like, love to do, what I, because children are. Future, you know, like we should invest in them mainly. So this, and then through my friend from childhood, she was seeing a man, and and because I was spending some time with her, I met him as well in her flat. He was like helping her, and and he was like, hey, why don't you try like this, like the tantric massage? I was like, no, it's not for me. Like, you know, because exactly I had this like, you know, you have to be sexy. You have to have, I don't know, like boobs and lips.
What you're saying, you don't mean that you are sexy?
Yeah, well, I don't think so. As much like if, yeah, anyway.
Can we ask Omar what you say? Is she sexy or not?
She is, yes.
Yes.
Continue. Okay, yeah, thank you. But yeah, anyway. And and I was like, no. And then again, like we met, like we actually cooked for him, and then like we had some food. And again, like it's like, but you're so esoteric. Like you should definitely like try it or think about it.
Were you into the realm of spirituality by then already? Was this something you had been open to before, or was this also new for you?
Well,
the spiritual aspect of
it. Yeah, I think I am.
You were like, before as well.
Okay, before this, yes. And like it's a part of it, I guess. So, you know, it's like when you start to do something, if it's investing, if it's something else, then it's more and more and more things, you know. So this is part of it. I don't know. Yeah. And so then I started to think about it. I was like, look, if I find a different job, I would have to be there like from Monday till Friday, you know, from 9 till 5. Like it wasn't nothing I would like to. I like, you know, a bit of... there like, and and so I find a salon in Czech, and I started there because I didn't want to do it in
tantric
Czech
massage salon.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want
is this common over there, tantric massage salons?
There are some, but it's not like on every corner.
Okay.
Like you have to research to but I didn't want to do it in Czech. But obviously, when you're going abroad, you don't go for 1 or 2 days. You go for a week or 2 or 10 days. And so it was recommended to me to try it before I go, and then I am somewhere, you know, I've never been. So I tried it, and and I liked it, and I see the sense in it. So that's how I started.
How do you learn something like this? Is there somebody who trains you, or?
You could be trained, and I was actually going to have the course, but I started, like, I tried without it, and I found my own way, like, and I learned, like, every client, it's experience, you know, and so that's how I learned, like, and I think it's quite good that I done it this way. I was like, oh, I should have the course, but at least... I do it from how I feel, not how it should be.
And how long have you been doing that?
Not so long. So I would say from September, October. Yes, 4 months.
This year? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does really? Your friends and family know?
Yes. So I told my sister, my older sister. I told my best friend. I didn't tell my dad, though.
Yet. Why?
Because I need to find a way to explain him.
How did your sister and your
I
best friend...
I want to tell him.
How did your sister and best friend react when you said this?
So my best friend started to do it now as well. And and my sister, so she was like, oh, you know, she was interesting because she didn't know what it is. So I explained her, I told her, and she was like, wow, you know, yeah, this. So she just wanted to know, she had the questions.
But if I would ask you, by Czech standards, do you come from more of a middle class background or...
What do you mean? Like a
middle class, upper class?
Like Czech Republic?
Are your family rich or poor?
Oh, like me, myself.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we are normal, like a middle class.
Average. Yeah. Middle class.
Like there was, like if we talk about financial. Like,
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because, you know, like some critics, at least here in Sweden, of what you're doing, they would assume that you are forced to do this because otherwise you would live a poor and horrible life.
Yeah.
And based on what I hear from you, this seems to not be the case.
Mm-mm. That's not the case. Like, I do believe, and that's the problem. Like, people think we do it, and even with prostitution or something else, they think that the girls don't like to do it. And maybe that's what could be the wrong thing, obviously, but... No, I enjoy it.
But when you do tantric massage,
yes,
and you're naked with some other naked dude, you don't know him, you know
you
nothing.
You say like this, yeah. I'm
yeah. Do you like doing this massage? Do you enjoy? I mean,
I do enjoy. Yes, doing the job. If that's the question, or
yeah. It's like, do you get something from it, or it's just the money?
No, it's not
what
just
do you enjoy with giving other massage or
because,
massaging the penises?
Honey, he's not so spiritual.
I've been doing yoga and stuff, but and doing that for a long time, but never ever the with yoga the spiritual thing was involved in massaging other people's penises.
But you have to understand. Hanif here, he loves to talk about feelings. He's very emotional.
It's not about
person.
That. It's about it's not about feelings. It's about the real what we were talking about, if it's real or not. And I'm curious about how the people are coming there for an experience, or maybe if they're spiritual, or if they just want to get laid and have this is a way of getting away with the Swedish society and be in some sort of prostitution instead. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. But like, is this prostitution masked in spirituality? And
no.
Okay, so you would say it's say not so. Prostitution at all.
About your client, you say 97% of them
ejaculate.
Are happy.
Yeah,
they are happy. Yeah. The orgasm.
But they get orgasm. But do you think they are?
Sure.
Do you think that they are there for a spiritual, or are they there for just getting orgasm?
Some are. I guess, like, it really depends. Like, I get lots of clients who see it in a similar way, I guess. And it's also up to the therapist, the way she leads it, you know? Some girls just, like, put their face and just, like, do more of the erotic thing. You know, but
more of the erotic things. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you something. So, when you told your sister and your best friend, I assumed you talked the way you're talking to us. You know that you're a therapist, and it's about the energy. But let's pretend that you will talk with your father.
Mm-hmm.
How would that conversation go?
Well, the thing is, like, my dad raised me up So, and I was always, you know, like by his side, and this like, I'm still probably a little girl for him. So I don't know how he would take it that, yeah, I meet.
But how would
so
you explain it for him?
Men.
Yes.
Pretend that Mustafa is your dad.
He could be, maybe. Yeah. I'm joking.
And you have a conversation. You have calling dad. I have something to tell you.
Okay.
My daughter, welcome.
Yeah, so...
you have been
abroad.
I find
abroad. A purpose. Yeah.
What are you doing there?
Yeah. So I find a purpose or a meaning in... I don't know. That's a difficult part.
But
that's what
your,
I'm trying
your,
to find.
Is your father a kind of a man that will understand when you talk about that you're a therapist and you talk about energies, you talk about...
yeah, so this is the thing, like he is
yeah,
in this
because,
way.
so. My fördomar.
Like, does he have prejudice against this kind of...
My stuff? Prejudice to your father is that he might want to be like straightforward, like tell me what you do.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't understand the word prejudice.
Okay, that's
prejudice. Like okay, he makes an assumption, he assumes something about, you know, maybe
okay.
what you're
okay.
doing.
Well, no, my dad probably wouldn't understand about this spiritual meaning or the spiritual word. Like, it's like I'm going into some places or like I talk and you know there was a full moon, I done this ritual or I'm going to this place where the energy is, and he's like, oh, it's like, okay, say hi to the universe. Like, you know, like he doesn't take it, like he doesn't understand this.
Could you describe your father, like what kind of a father was he? Is he a conservative, you know, military guy? Is he well, obviously he's not a hippie guy.
what? No,
how would you describe him?
He's a good man, he's fun.
What kind of job did he have or does he have?
So he used to play football mm-hmm. When I was little.
Professional?
And, like, yeah, but in like a small club.
Uh-huh.
And but then he had an injury. So he was like a referee doing like helping, but he didn't like it as much. Then he pushed me into it. And then he was working with wood. So, but not just
like
this,
carpenter,
sorry.
You mean wood? In what way?
No, like you do like nice chairs.
Oh,
and
like sculpture and
yeah,
like sculpting
like,
wood.
Yeah,
like
this.
That.
And yeah, and then when we were around, I don't know, 15, I was, he started to drive the truck, like a truck driver. And maybe because he always wished for a boy and there was just girls in the house. So maybe he likes to get away. And yeah, so that's what he does. But he's such a calm person. Like, yeah, he's a good man.
If I would ask, what is there like a specific age range for your clients?
Well, you have to probably be 18 or I don't know.
But what's the age
most common,
of people
like,
visiting
yeah.
you?
Is it like more in the
okay.
30s, 40s, 50s?
Mm. No.
What's
so
the most common?
Most common is around like between 30 and 40, I would say. But we...
Like the age of people in this room?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, awesome.
But I would say like, you know, we had clients who was, I don't know, 86. We had clients.
How
like,
does it feel to have a client that is 86 and doing the tantric massage?
I don't look at it this way, you know. I don't look at him like, oh, he's old. No, like I see it like, wow,
see
you know,
old energy.
What no, does that like, even mean?
I don't know. I'm trying to talk spiriting.
Okay.
You're talking about spiritual. This is a spiritual thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but I'm glad you see it already like a spiritual thing.
Are you? Yeah, I'm trying to.
Good, but yeah, I see. You know, like he came and he came for a reason. Like there is something he's missing, something he wants.
Of course.
And And yeah, and I said, like, I got this opportunity to please him, to you know, to make him happy.
And I imagine, like, it's super uncommon with female clients, or?
I had a female client.
Only one?
And one, so I'm not here long. Mm. But yeah, most are men. But I had a female client. It was beautiful.
That's a good question. Because if it is about spirituality and you're a therapist and you give people energy, why don't you have any woman clients?
Well, she had one.
Well, one.
But she haven't been so long.
Kan hon få svara själv?
But this is what she just
svara,
said.
Kan du bara vara tyst?
But this is what she just said.
No, okay, he's asking why. He's asking why.
Maybe. I can't say why for sure, because obviously, like, I can only say what I think. But I think it's maybe because, I don't know, it's a good question.
Maybe the guy men is are
more
for sex?
Yeah, men's got more testosterone. I don't know.
Or men's got?
Like more of the hormone for, is testosterone?
But I mean, maybe it's like,
this is nothing we are doing anything with. We are very anti-testosterone in this pod.
Okay.
But at the same time.
I was joking.
At the same time, it's kind of understandable. I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, that spirituality, sexual energy, blah, blah, blah. So the sexual energy is still one aspect of it. So the person has to be somewhat turned on.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, so but if it's a straight person, they would not be turned on.
Talking about...
Or maybe it's easier... Sorry to interrupt.
No, sure, yeah. go ahead.
Maybe it's easier for a woman to get... like get the interaction with someone than for a man, maybe. I don't know, that's just what just came to me now, but because sometimes for men it can be difficult.
Honey, a question for you. How come this is illegal while yoni massage is legal?
I think both of them are the same. If the purpose is sexual, then it's illegal.
But yoni massage is totally acceptable here in Sweden. Like the influencers, they write articles about getting orgasms when they get yoni massage.
I think that if you look at through the law, it's illegal, both of them. But here in Sweden, we make difference between women and male and the sexuality between them.
So we have a double standard, you think?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I will take this in... Swedish.
Okay.
Alltså, Chang, jag måste ändå faktiskt ställa en fråga till dig. Nu pratar jag om henne, men alltså, jag förstår liksom inte grejen. Hade hon sagt alla de sakerna hon sa nu, om att hon brinner för unga med teckenspråk och vill hjälpa människor och allt sånt där. Men hade hon varit socionom, då hade du total dissat henne. Och sagt att hon är en sån här naiv centerpartist.
Nej.
Jo, det hade du.
Jag ska berätta varför jag inte hade. Nej, jag ska berätta varför jag inte hade.
Hon får prata punkt först.
Men nu håller hon på med någon slags sexuell massage. Och nu plötsligt är hon jätteintressant för dig. Varför då?
För att jag måste invända mot din första sak. Jag hade inte haft några problem om hon var socionom. För hon är inte en svensk socionom. Batikhäxor är en väldigt svensk företeelse. I andra länder som är mer normala så hade jag nog varit mycket mer öppen för det. Det är den första grejen jag måste invända. Det andra är att jag tycker alltid det är spännande med folk som är lite på gränsen mot vad det tillåtna är. När det är lite normbrytande, det som väcker känslor. Förstår du hur jag tänker? Det är därför jag tyckte SD var spännande en gång i tiden och annat sånt där. Liksom, när du pushar en gräns liksom... Och det där det blir en gråzon, det är inte helt självklart. Så det står och väger, det finns argument åt bägge håll. Det gör mig intresserad, målkonflikter och alla sådana saker.
Här är ju egentligen inga gråzoner. Här är väldigt uppenbart straightforward. Jag tycker det är, alltså det är väldigt tydligt.
Det här är prostitution.
I svensk kontext så skulle jag säga ja. Så som vi tolkar lagen i Sverige, ja. Men det superintressanta är, eller superintressant, men en intressant aspekt, det är ju att tar vi till exempel samma företeelse i Danmark eller Tyskland, så klassar man inte det som prostitution. Men i Sverige gör det. Det är också sådant intressant, för det är väldigt olika synsätt på det.
But I still don't get, even like in svensk kontext, why yoni massage is totally fine.
Det är inte det.
Det är inte det.
Det är det. Det är inte det alls det.
You have what's Ingrosso talking about it and like other people writing articles and fucking Aftonbladet about it.
How many
of these people have been harassed by the police?
Men här är olika. Så bara för att det finns vissa som är så här influencer som gör det, så skulle jag säga det fortfarande är det här är inte helt och hållet okej i den svenska kontexten. Alltså, vi har bekanta i våran umgängeskrets som har gjort det här, men de skulle aldrig öppet kunna stå för det.
Nej, och jag ska bara säga, hon verkar ju ha en kopplare och någon chef som driver det här. Det verkar inte vara någon så här jättesköna typer. Det är ingen.
They ask her about it.
We did ask her.
Well, yeah. We can ask about, it's better about, we take it in English. Okay, otherwise you won't understand what they're arguing about.
We are discussing about the law, how the law see about this in Swedish context between the male linga massage and yoni massage, and we have some influencers that been open about
female
that.
Female influencers.
But in the same way, it's a gråzon. Vad fan är det?
A gray area where it's about to get illegal, you know.
Vad fan har du på dig?
I actually have a...
You're so irritated on me today.
We have a guest. Let's just speak English and look at her.
In Sweden, you have very big influencers writing articles in the major daily newspapers about yoni massage and how awesome it is, and that they had 100 orgasms while doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's socially acceptable, as it seems, in this country. Mm-hmm. But would a man specifically write about how awesome linga massage would be? This guy would be destroyed.
I know. Yes, right? I know.
And so we were asking Hanif, like, what? Why do we have this double standard? Mm-hmm. And if I continue on that note, Hanif, like, you have a boss, or you have several bosses, and I guess
Hanif have an operator.
Okay, you have an operator, or you have several bosses, right? And they kind of decide what kind of crimes you're going to focus on based on what's happening in society. And as it seems to me, there are no bosses at any police district in this country saying we have to go and catch all these female yoni massage giving people. That's correct, right? Because I don't see any mass arrests of.
Have you been a client or?
No, I'm not a woman. I'm not a woman. I'm talking about yoni here.
Yeah. But I know that we have like some insatser, and they do some mass arrests, but I don't know if it's what kind of services they have been asking for. So it's. Hard for me to answer that, but sure. I know in this issue, as long as the purpose is sexual, then it's illegal. If it's a lingam or yoni,
so you can say as a man you're getting a lingam massage and you had an orgasm, but you say, well, it actually wasn't sexual. I had an orgasm, but it wasn't sexual, and that would be acceptable. Can we just like admit that there's like extreme hypocrisy?
Yeah,
here?
But I'm with you on that point. Okay. But it doesn't make it just because the other thing is one thing is wrong.
Justifiable.
Exactly. I see your point. So, but based on Swedish logic in the justice system, they should both be illegal.
And they are.
But okay. Could I ask, like, from what I understand, you probably know the law. Why is it illegal then when actually? I'm giving service, you know, that's the most you can do, to give a service to other human being, and we are both happy. We help each other.
But,
you're a victim, you just don't know.
But maybe
you just don't know about it.
But you hear, but maybe it's the thing, the view from the Swedish society is that if you're poor or if you're in somehow you're vulnerable, and it's easier for you to be doing this kind of stuff, that being giving massage and being prostitute and stuff like that. And beside that, it's a lot of organization that is working with people that coming here for working as sex arbetare,
like a sex workers,
and that's the evidence shows that we have a huge problem with that in Sweden. So because of that, we, the Swedish society have made it illegal for male to, or made it illegal to buy sex.
One can argue that we have a huge problem because it's illegal.
But aren't you taking advantage of this being illegal because you're doing this illegal? You're not paying taxes.
She's paying taxes.
I do pay tax.
You pay taxes?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Czech is not a retarded country.
Like a from masseuse.
Oh, you pay in Czechoslovakia. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But when you're working here.
But in Sweden. But in Sweden you can choose if you will pay tax here or back in your country. And we choosing to pay back in my country.
But if I understood correctly also, you seem to, from what you said, you have almost absolute freedom in choosing, for example, your hours of work or what days to work on or not and so on. Is that correct? Or yeah? Is that the case? Can you choose sometimes to work and sometimes not to work? You can.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to run some arguments that I would say a radical feminist in this country would run against you. Asked.
He want to give some arguments against what you are doing. It's not his argument.
Okay. Yeah.
It's what radical feminists usually argue.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretending that I'm a radical feminist
now. Yeah, of course. Vivian is translator.
So
jag har
tagit vad du sa
det
jag
tänkte just jag
vill bara hjälpa
dig lite.
So the first line of arguments against you would be well, you're doing this because you're poor, and we already discussed that. So as I understand it, you come from a normal financial situation based on a Czech Republic standard, right? So you're not doing this because you're poor.
But she's doing that for money.
Yes, but that's not the same thing for...
That's a reward.
Yeah, that's a bonus. It's not because she's poor. So that's a different thing.
Or if you want to be rich, so why not?
Yeah. The other line of argument would be, well, somebody is forcing you to do this. Some guy maybe in Czech Republic kidnapped you and said, you have to do this for me. I'm going to take half of your money. Otherwise, I will do bad things to you.
Mm-mm.
Are you telling us that you still have your ID with you? Nobody took your ID from you.
But the argument of that is on the other side is that because of she's doing that doesn't mean that other people are not in this industry.
Yes, that's true.
And this is, you told me something that you have met some girls that are maybe not feeling so good doing this job.
Yeah, and that's why I think it should be legal. If it would be legal, it would have more control. Because now when it's illegal, like you don't really have it under control. And maybe that's why there are places and poor girls like who are forced to this and forced to do stuff what they don't like.
But if it would be legal, the market would expand, wouldn't it?
Like
it would
grow?
Be a bigger market if more people would come here for working as a sex
therapist.
and I think that Swedish society doesn't want that.
They don't want men to be happy.
No, they don't want to have this market increase.
It could be the case, but we're not sure if that's what's going to happen.
It could be the case, but at the same time,
we could see in different other fields that's
what would be the problem if this market would be bigger? Why is that a problem?
Because then you will still work. People would be organizing people coming here for
but
working.
It's legal. It's done in an organized way. They make sure nobody is treated in a bad way. Everyone is happy.
If it's legal, och så här, om det skulle vara lagligt så skulle marknaden öka. Det måste vi ändå vara överens
om. Ja, men varför är det ett problem om marknaden ökar? Det är väl okej?
För att om marknaden ökar, det innebär att fortfarande fast att det är lagligt så kan man ju utnyttja andra personer och komma hit och
det
jobba.
Det kan du alltid göra.
Men om marknaden är större, det här måste du hänga med på. Det här är inga konstigheter. Om du har en större marknad, då är det fler personer som kan utnyttjas. Om du har en mindre marknad, så är det färre personer som kan utnyttjas.
Vänta.
Alltså är det konstigt?
Det går att argumentera emot också.
Men på vilket sätt då?
Därför att när det är olagligt så vet vi inte hur stor marknaden är. Marknaden kanske fortfarande är lika stor men den göms undan och sker helt i det dolda. Så du har ingen aning om hur stor marknaden är. När du legaliserar kan mycket väl vara så att mycket av det som idag göms undan som ni inte har en jävla aning om som sker där ute. Att nu sker det istället legalt och det sker under mer ordnade former och färre personer far illa. Men marknaden kanske hela tiden är lika stor. Alltså, det finns en sån här grej att så länge det finns en efterfrågan så kommer någon se till att lösa tillgång på det. Det är marknadskrafterna.
Absolut, men man kan vänta.
Folk kommer ju inte bli mindre.
Absolut, men det är samma sak med narkotikahandeln. Att när du har öppen narkotika, eller om det skulle vara helt legalt, så är det mycket lättare för kunden, klienten, att gå och köpa droger. Vänta! Men om...
Nej, men det är skitenkelt.
Nej, men låt oss prata till punkt. Men om det är så här att Det är samma sak i Rinkeby. Mm. De ska sälja cannabis, så kommer en kund och ska köpa. Mm. Det är ju skitsvårt för kunden att hitta köparen. För vi är där och bevakar, vi har övervakningskontenta. Och det gör att det blir mycket svårare för kunden att köpa. Och det är samma sak här. Om det är illegalt så kommer det vara mycket svårare att kunna köpa det.
Okej, okay. Are you finished?
Är du klar? Ska prata färdigt
ska jag svara
om det?
På detta? Ja,
nu, okay. Nu är jag klar, nu kan du svara.
Okej, okay. Ett, det är bullshit att...
Okej, du har lyssnat så här långt. På sista måltid. En mycket fin radioprogram i Sverige. Du tycker det är mycket trevligt. Men, min vän, lyssna på mig nu. Du har inte betalat biljet på klubb sista måltid. Dom har blate grabarna dom behover pengar. Flis. Lax. Stolar. Dirabilar. Lix hotel. Duvet. Dom oste du betala om du skaris namer. Du forman gaflera vsnit okso. Pakieter biudande, helt enkelt. Les i beskrivning for avsnit, dar de fins information for ad bli medlem po klubzista moltit. Detko star somen miket liten kafe late ute potoriet. Per monat. Let somen plet. Tak, minwen.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.